Entdecken Sie bei Aldi Ananas. Das Stück zum Aldi-Preis von 1,11 Euro. Jeden Tag besonders. Einfach Aldi.
The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is the Sports Kings, brought to you by Kings Court in Houston on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramon.
Hey, hey, welcome to the Sports Kings show tonight. No queen. Dolores Lozano is taking the night off, and what is she doing anyway? She's working.
She has stuff going on.
Always, yeah. She did say she had something
important stuff.
Very important going on tonight. So it's just the Kings. I was out last week. Glad to be back, and our producer Jose Portita doing this thing. Jose, what's happening over there, my man?
How you living, Gene?
I'm living large.
How was the game?
Don't start right now.
Too soon?
Don't.
Okay, sorry. We'll
get into that much later. But anyway, speaking of a game, there's a game tonight. There's an NFL game tonight between the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns. Browns fans are still excited about some things. Excited to be a team that has a tie on their record and excited to be a team that is playing the Jets tonight against Sam Darnold, who's putting up good numbers. And my co-host over here, who held it down last week, along with the usual suspects, when I'm not here, yeah. Who takes my place?
Well, usually we like, you know, it's like if you don't leave, because of course Bobby Beats does a really good impression of you, so it's as if you didn't even go to Pittsburgh. But honestly, Gene, like, since you and D-Lo be always taking the days off, I think it's time for me and Jose to take a day off.
Wait a minute.
I could take a day off.
Right? I think we can use a day off.
Jose, you both of you guys have taken more than enough time off.
What is that supposed to mean?
I actually have perfect attendance.
You do have great attendance, but you know, you never heard of this thing, rank has its privileges. I mean, I've been here for a while.
Okay.
I have a lot of leave time.
That's what
I think
is.
I should be able to use my.
You got a lot of sick days you haven't used?
I'm pretty sure you got.
Yeah, I use sick days after that game Sunday.
I'm pretty sure
that's a good way to put it. So, anyway.
You're one of them people that have more vacation time after they already took vacation, huh?
You need that after what I suffered through Sunday. So, anyway, college football on tonight for you college football fans. We're going to have a great show because if you like college football and the NFL, that's basically what it's going to be about tonight. I believe we have in the first hour college football news. Pete Fotek is going to join us later to talk some college football. So anyway, a lot of things going on. 7-7, your college football score. Temple and Tulsa tied. When we come back, we're going to get into some more NC2A football here on Sports Kings here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to an SB Nation Radio broadcast from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
All right. So here's the deal here. First of all, this is your segment, right?
Is it mine? So you give me ownership of the segment?
Well, I mean, because, you know, I tell you what. I know that we're going to go through favorite tweets every week. Yep. However, I struggle to get my tweet together until we come on the air. So I know there's a lot of stuff out there, which means that I'm not on Twitter as much as I should be. But anyway, I know you and Jose got your tweets.
Yeah, we got
them. Oh, yeah, we always got tweets.
So why don't I be last in this case?
And I'll go ahead starting off. And, of course, everyone, you know, remembers 1996 Space Jam with Michael Jordan. And
what's that? I've never heard of that.
And never. Oh, okay. Well, I'm about to enlighten you real quick, 96? Jose.
96?
Really, I was 2 years old.
You're two. Ooh. Wow.
I was two when Space Jam came out.
I was 5 years old, and it was one of the few movies that I've seen twice in the movie theaters. It was that amazing to me.
Mine was, I saw Pokemon 2000 a couple times in the
Pokemon
theater.
Pokemon 2000 a couple times? Yeah. So that's before the first movie.
Wasn't that the first movie?
I think it was Pokemon the movie then.
I don't know.
Yeah, Pokemon the movie.
Okay. I was gonna ask Gene.
Yeah.
So of course, LeBron James broke it. Actually, I want to say his production company, Spring Hill Entertainment, broke it that they are doing Space Jam 2 in the works, and it's a pretty big deal just because of what the movie at the time kind of meant. It was breaking borders a little bit. It was new. I wouldn't call it new technology because I think, you know, you can look back at Roger Rabbit and how they kind of cross over between people and cartoons. But it was just a whole different thing to me. And it was something in the works, too, because I believe in 92, 93, they started doing the Warner Brothers cartoon commercials with Michael Jordan, with, you know, Bugs Bunny and Marvin the Martian. But just to know that that will be coming soon, and just to add on to that, that's going to be amazing because we already seen the effects of LeBron going to L.A. and what could possibly be done.
Crazy.
And all the other things that he already has in the works, too. It already magnifies what he's going to be doing.
And why he went there. It magnifies why he went there.
But even though, like, I still kind of feel that he could have been doing this regardless of him going to L.A., I think he could have still been capable of doing it. You know, it is what it is, but I don't think that was the main. Yeah, it's the main reason. But at the same time, this is something that he could have been doing on the side, and even after, you know, post play, because I think Michael Jordan was retired, I think, during the filming of Space Jam at the time. Then, of course, he comes back, and that's kind of how they ended the movie. But this is going to be interesting because I looked up a tweet from Daryl Rovell from ESPN. It covers a lot of the business side of sports. Number one grossing movie. Basketball movie of all time was Space Jam. So, yeah. I mean, just to know that, and just by, and the magnitude of it too, $375 million they made in the box office. And second was White Man Can't Jump with $163 million. So, this shows you the power of Space Jam.
I thought
Jam.
It would have been Juwanna Man.
Juwanna Man?
Yeah.
I was surprised he got Game or Above the Rim. I guess those were like lower tier movies, but even Hoosiers, $65 million in the box office. I'm not a big, who's this right here, Gene?
It's Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman.
How could you not know? He's got my first name.
But I know Gene Hackman from Superman.
Well, I got his
Superman.
First name. He's much older than me.
I know Gene Hackman from Superman.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, and to me, doesn't ring basketball coach.
Gene
and to
Hackman
me,
has
to
been
me,
in some of the greatest movies, The French Connection.
Not one of my favorite basketball movies.
The Firm. You never watched The Firm?
Didn't watch The Firm.
Okay. Gene Hackman's been around. He did a Will Smith movie where they had all of this intelligence where wherever Will Smith went, they were able to see him through. I forgot the name of the movie, but it was, if you know the name of the movie, call us up.
1-800-777-2907.
Yeah, just call us up.
Tell us your favorite Gene Hackman movie.
But no, it was a movie where it was just, Jose, do you remember? Will Smith was all over New York. I think it was New York. And
I Am Legend?
Nope, it's not that one. But anyway, Gene Hackman was
Hitchcock?
The man that was looking for him. Just stop it. Stop it, will you? I don't think that was it.
Enemy of State.
Enemy, that's the one.
Enemy of the
that
State.
That is the one. Enemy of the State. So that
God,
was the
I'm
one.
Good.
That, now, you do remember
Men
that
in Black?
Movie now, right?
No, nah, I don't remember it. No. Okay. I didn't watch
Jose's
it.
Jose's still going.
I'm not. See, and then all the other reason why I know who
the
Gene
Pursuit
Hackman
of Happiness,
is,
right?
Is because of South Park. South Park does a really good bit with Gene Hackman and Christopher Reeve whenever he was still alive. So a little outdated just a bit, but that's how I know Gene Hackman.
Let me say what I like about these recycled movies when you talk about Space Jam, because you and Jose just proved the point, the fact that you guys are part of a whole new generation.
I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm part of the old one, too.
No, you were five. You were just learning how to, you know, do this, that, and the other. Jose didn't even have teeth in his mouth at that. What, you were 2 years old?
Yeah. Right?
So here's the deal. So now, I mean, look, there's another generation of you guys. So, I mean, This is why this movie should be good. And LeBron also, now, and everyone knows LeBron. Yeah. Everyone knew Michael Jordan at the time.
Yeah.
So this is great that they
waited. It goes hand in hand.
It was timely,
It also brings the that they have to do one of the best. Because Space Jam, the soundtrack, was maybe one of the best soundtracks for a movie picture ever, quite possibly. And they're going to have to back it up.
As a sneakerhead, and I know David has one too, I'm excited because there has to be like a special like sneaker that LeBron is going to make.
When he walks the center court whenever the tip-off. Like it's going to have to be the same classic moment. And we're going to relive a lot
of
things.
You know what would be cool is if they had a cameo by Michael Jordan.
And that's
got to be.
And there's a story out today that they're planning on having a role for him.
He doesn't have to play.
Right. No, or maybe just some...
Maybe he's the one that comes at the end, to come saves the day.
This has got to be a Michael Jordan, I mean, just to have those two great players.
Just have Michael Jordan be the villain.
In this movie.
They actually steal the powers from Michael Jordan. Oh, they go back in time, steal old Michael Jordan's power. Oh, wow.
Talking about the wizard?
Plot twist.
Just have him be the villain.
So, Jose, your favorite tweet?
Mine's comic book related, more specifically, I guess, television comic book
Netflix.
Related? Yeah, Netflix. Marvel released their latest poster for season 3 of Daredevil, which is actually coming out a lot sooner than we all thought. It's coming out in a couple weeks on October 19th, and it's Daredevil, I guess, it has a lot of symbolism to Catholicism. It's Daredevil kind of walking down the street with his hands out, sort of like...
Crucified style.
Crucified, yeah, so it's pretty spooky, but show comes back.
This is days right before, too, the other poster that they released with just the helmet, sitting. But, same thing. You see the church in the background. You kind of see a little bit of New York. Mm-hmm. Very grim. And honestly, like, this is what, the whole world is moving to, like the whole Netflix and Hulu and everything and, the original series and stuff. But Daredevil really set the bar high for all the Marvel series when it, compared to Netflix, I would say. And, Gene, I have to say, if you haven't seen Daredevil, this is a good
show.
Just
stop. Stop, first of all. Let me tell you guys when the first movie, Daredevil, was made.
Oh,
No, it was filmed in Los Angeles, by the way. They made the city of Los Angeles look like New York. And I actually lived in Los Angeles when they filmed the movie with, what's my man's name?
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
So I actually saw the making.
That's your boy, Gene?
Your boy.
No, that's Batman, right?
Not anymore.
Former Batman.
We don't know. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think no one knows. I don't even think he knows. But also the thing that I remember about the movie Daredevil was you hear the song by Evanescence at least 75 times.
Oh, jeez, yes.
Yes, it's like in every scene they just wanted to play that song.
Didn't think this movie would take off. I didn't, I guess watching it being filmed because there was, nights where I would walk on the set and see different scenes of...
Wow.
Of the movie, yeah. Cause when,
did you see Michael Clark Duncan?
No, I didn't. But because I'm looking at the streets, the street signs saying New York streets. And I'm like, okay, so this is always normal for if you've ever been in Los Angeles and they film a movie, they bring in the police cars and all of this stuff. And I'm like, well, why didn't they just go to New York and film a movie? But no, they actually turned down portions of downtown LA into New York to film that movie. So it was pretty cool.
Fun fact, Mean Gene knows
Fun fact, Mean Gene was an extra on Daredevil.
Yeah, I'm sure they cut my part out.
He still gets a monthly check of 2 cents for his work as an extra.
Yeah, well, I did get paid for being on the set of How I Met Your Mother. The first, the very first pilot, they tried this out. And they got a studio audience in there, and they would pay us like $20 an hour.
What?
To be in there.
That's awesome.
I got a paycheck.
So we heard your
laugh. And I'm in
the
there
background.
Like bored. Because I'm like, this movie, this sitcom is never going to make it. And who knew that How I Met Your Mother would last for what, 10?
9 years.
Yeah, almost 10 years.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah, it sucked towards the end. But,
but anyway, and I still don't know what
I didn't know you're a movie star.
Now that I know Gene's voice was on it, I kind of want to go back
and see if I can hear him laugh.
You can hear me like, the stuff they say laugh, right? So anyway, let's get to the tweet. I wasn't going to choose this, but I know Jose already tried to throw shade at me about my last week, where I was at. So how about Antonio Brown? And, the trade me thing that got out of there. He got involved in a tweet exchange, and somehow the words trade me came up, and he have, since come back and cleaned that up and said that he was totally angry that the Steelers were losing And that became like big news going into, especially after a big game like that on Sunday, where the Chiefs went in there and just beat the brakes off the Steelers, 42-37. And the next day, so that you got a sorry defense, no Le'Veon Bell, and now you got AB going off. So it just really put all focus on the Steelers, and the only way they're going to shake this thing off now is to beat Tampa Bay Monday night, which we'll talk about in the second hour.
And Gene, I just want to ask you real quick, because how much do you actually psychoanalyze the, I guess, you know, the players involved versus this can be easily solved just by actually just showing up on the field? Just because I don't really feel that there's, you know, the most happening that we don't know. It's because we know the main things, like, of course, Le'Veon Bell not coming and, you know, that whole team aspect from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I kind of feel that, you know, if the record will be 2-0 right now, we'll hear less from them and it wouldn't be as bad.
So I left one important piece out. He didn't show up for work Monday, which made it even more after saying, you know, something like trade me. And then not showing up for work. So, yeah, there was some scary Steeler fans and Steeler Nation. But I think all this cleared up now, practice. And, I mean, his whole team had to go out and defend him and kind of speak for him, and especially, you know, Big Ben. And but anyway, like I said, the second hour we're going to get into the NFL. Well, they did just kick off there at the stadium there. In First Energy Stadium in Cleveland. So when we come back, we're going to get into some college football. You're listening to the Sports Kings without our queen tonight here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by the Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Mean Gene, David Ramone, and the sports queen, Dolores Lozano.
All right, we are back once again on a Thursday night, September 20th, 2018, as we have some college football action going on tonight. And that's Temple and Tulsa, Battle of the Tees, right? Playing at the stadium. Right, the stadium might look familiar. That is where the Philadelphia Eagles are playing. That's where their home games are. So that's where the Temple Owls are playing up there tonight in Philly. And we have the Browns and the Jets on. They just kicked off, and this is quite interesting because the Browns are actually hosting, and it's one of those games where Sam Darnold, who is getting a lot of accolades for a young quarterback, he threw for 334 yards against Miami last week. So I think that was probably the most by a quarterback his age, right? To have these 300-yard passing games. This is pretty good for a 21-year-old. He's 21 years old.
Yeah, very young. Yeah. I mean, I think he's like one of the youngest guys to debut on Monday Night Football as well. It's going to be really interesting going forward with him. It's because all the young guys, especially at the quarterback position, they're able to do good. Because, I mean, I know you don't want to talk about Patrick Mahomes, but
you forced me to talk about him later on.
Yeah, later on. But, Gene, so last week, there was a couple good games out on TV on Saturday. For example, the Ohio State. And I kept on getting tongue-tied with TCU for some reason. I called them Texas Christian University one time, which is really weird because sometimes those are one of the schools that you don't really say the whole acronym, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you don't go there.
It's nice that people know what TCU actually stands for, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, but, I mean, to me, it was an emergence of Dwayne Haskins for me just because I haven't really got to see him too much. And this is maybe, you know, the one game that you can really zone in for Ohio State. I guess going forward, too, especially if TCU really gives the Big 12 trouble going forward, this is definitely something they can use on their resume, I guess, you know, because you like to add up on those games that, you know, the out-of-conference games that, you know, you had to win. So whenever you're building that playoff resume towards the end of the year, just in case you have that one loss or something that's, you know, a flaw on your resume, you can look back on a game like this because you went to a quote-unquote neutral site. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really so neutral just because of the location, right, but right. If you saw the game, the Ohio State faithful, of course, they've traveled very well.
Big time.
And it didn't seem like a home game for TCU whatsoever, but they definitely handled their business down over there in Dallas, or I'd say Arlington.
Jerry's World. Here's the thing. I like this matchup when I saw it because every year TCU finds themselves in the situation of, you know, we can compete with the big boys. We deserve a shot at the national championship if we're going to be, a top five team. And I think the posters give TCU their props. I mean, but when you get a chance like this, I know it was on a neutral site, but the game was in Dallas. It was in Tarrant County, okay?
Yeah, you gotta be able to utilize
you that. Have to take advantage. And for the most part, they did. Yeah, I mean, for a couple of quarters, they were really into the game. But, you know, a big powerhouse team like Ohio State, you cannot make turnovers. Teams like that know what to do with you when you screw up. They made mistakes that they couldn't recover from. And, I mean, Ohio State looked like a, unbeaten team and a good showing right before Urban Meyer returns to the sidelines.
Definitely. I mean, Sean Robinson did have the two interceptions, but Ohio State got on the board pretty quickly. I mean, even if it's a 10-0 just to start the game off, starting out in the hole can be hard for any school just because, I mean, look who's on the other side of the field. Mm-hmm. Thing. Mm-hmm. But for going forward, Texas Christian. I mean, they have Texas this week, which is going to be a really good game for mm-hmm. them because I think as of right now, Texas, I mean, riding their way from last week against USC.
Oh, man.
Because to me, this is a whole different team mm-hmm. from what we saw versus Maryland.
I hated to see Texas beat USC.
Is this because
I went
LA
through
ties?
That Rose Bowl. Oh, yeah, it's always going to be with my LA ties. I mean, I am a huge USC Trojan fan, and I can never get over Vince Young just tearing us apart in that Rose Bowl. And to see this game now, I thought USC was a whole lot better because I didn't think Texas was that good mm-hmm. after watching Maryland take care of them. So I don't know. USC just was not prepared.
Yeah, I mean, there was like phases of the Longhorns, though. Of course, you saw the game versus Maryland. They squeaked by versus Tulane. Then they totally handled business versus USC. So yeah. I know Tom Herman definitely has those guys going on the right path. Sam Ellinger actually had a really good game, 223 yards, 2 touchdowns. But the guy on the other side, Gene, JT Daniels for USC, I just know that they're in good hands. Building towards the future. With JT Daniels at the helm, I think he's really going to be able to do things. And I think they will grow as the Pac-12 schedule goes on through them. But as for Texas, this is really looking good for them because you know how like they like to lose these games that they're not supposed to lose, but all of a sudden they play Oklahoma and they make it a game. And
well,
I think that's what Tom Herman is kind of building to. Because, I mean, just for a fact, you get a win from a ranked opponent. That just has to give you some type of charisma, just period, just because you just beat them, and then knowing what just happened at Maryland.
Well, I mean, here, and going back to USC, I thought playing Stanford that early in the year would give them a good early test.
Yeah,
I mean, because they opened up against UNLV they did what they were supposed to do, but here's the deal, you give up 37 points to the Longhorns.
Mm-hmm.
And that defense is just not it's not a USC-style defense. I mean, they just really look discombobulated out there. Now, it doesn't get any better. They go to play the Washington State Cougars.
Way off.
I know, way off. So not the other Cougars, okay?
Yeah.
So they play in the Washington State, who is unbeaten. So things are about to get a little bit tough. For USC, and they do it on a short week. It's a Friday night game.
Oh, wow.
So,
and that's the thing, too, Gene. I feel like this goes for all teams, to be honest. Whenever you have, your week one, week two opponents, that's why a lot of teams like to schedule those quote-unquote cupcake games just mm-hmm. because they can start to get a rhythm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you'll be three games into the season and you still really haven't got to the point where you really want to be at. And I think Texas is – maybe a good example of that, just because I felt like they have really good athletes on defense for all the positions. And then on offense, like we said, Sam Ellinger came in. Last year, I feel that there was a lot right on him. He really wanted to do a lot more than what he should have been able to do. Mm-hmm. But I say this year he's finally been able to get his touch. I think he's really going to get it going. But it kind of goes for me, too. Same thing with this LSU and Auburn game, which was a really good game all towards the fourth quarter. Joe Burrow is this guy who I felt coming in, it was going to be really hard for him to, especially after spring ball. Usually you already got guys that you kind of already have in line to be the quarterback, especially the starting quarterback. And Joe comes in, learns the playbook, comes in, handles his business. Of course, he doesn't have the most time, especially I think this is going to be his only year of eligibility left. Mm-hmm. The fact that he can come in here, learn the playbook, handle what he did against Miami, and for them to still kind of ride that wave too, because this Auburn game, I think going in, LSU already knew that it was a totally winnable game. Mm-hmm. They knew the defense was going to be stacked against them too, so the run game was going to be in and out. So Joe knew that he was going to have to make plays, and that's what he really did going down the stretch. And Auburn too, I think Stidham, you know.
Well, look here. I'm sorry, but LSU, I know you're big on LSU. And I know right now they're what, 3-0?
Yeah, 3-0, yeah.
And, you know, taking care of Miami, which was a huge opener. And, I mean, do we even have to mention what they did to Southeastern Louisiana?
No.
But getting, you know, you playing a top-ranked, you know, Auburn team.
It doesn't get any easier right? as well either.
But then this weekend they played the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. See, these are the things that'll throw you off here. This is the type of team that could mess around and win.
Yeah, because you don't want a Troy situation.
Right. Hello.
You know, like, yeah.
Right. So I mean, but anyway, I mean LSU is doing good. So hey, when we come back, we're gonna talk to someone who knows way more about college football than David and I, and that's going to be Pete Futek joining us right here on the Sports King Show here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by the Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Mean Gene, David Ramone, and the sports queen, Dolores Lozano.
All right, back once again. And what you got?
I was about to say, Gene, you can't say the Nate Dogg verse in this song, Gene. I saw you.
You thought I was going to bust the rhyme?
I thought he was going to go into the Nate Dogg verse.
I would do that if we didn't have such a distinguished guest on. You know, I try to act good when companies, you know, coming on the show. But anyway, as promised, everyone, we're going to get into a little bit more in depth here on college football. And we can only do that when we have the right people on the show. And this guy is a very well-known and established writer for College Football News. He's been on the show before, and we're happy to have him on tonight on College Football Thursday Night. And we're talking about Pete Futek. Pete, how you doing, man?
What's the opposite of make yourself at home when it's in the reverse? Like, it's your show. Hey, go for it. Do what you need to do. You know, knock it out. It's your, you know, kick your feet up. Go, you know, go Nate Dogg. Do what you have to do.
Yeah, Pete. You saw him. He was ready.
See, Pete, my mother just told me that when company's over, we just have to act a certain way. And I was, you know, I grew up in the South, so I still carry those values, but Pete is making me feel real comfortable in my own house.
Yeah, your mother has – actually, your mother would like me. I bring snacks and flowers and stuff. So that would be cool with your mom, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed, Pete. So, hey, man, let's talk about some stuff here. I know you just tweeted some stuff out there not too long ago about Michigan State and Indiana. Sounds like a scary game coming up for Michigan State going to Bloomington and facing a 3-0 team.
A little bit. I mean, Indiana turns out to be pretty good right now, and that, you know, they're undefeated still. They're flying under the radar because they're Indiana, and we all know, you know, that's not going to end well. But they're pretty good. The real key here is just Michigan State. Michigan State did not play well against Utah State to start the season. They lose to Arizona State. They got to show up because that's a top 10 preseason team that just isn't playing like it quite yet. Ohio State's really good. Penn State's really good. Michigan's getting really good. I still think Wisconsin's really good. This is where we find out whether or not Michigan State's just good or if they're going to be in for a real disappointing season.
Oh, yeah, Pete. And, you know, speaking of, you know, a lot of schools now get into their conference games, we're just talking about the segment before, you know, the TCU losing to Ohio State. Now they're coming around going to Austin to play against Texas. Now Texas is riding a wave a little bit, especially that win versus USC. So we're starting to see them change a lot, you know, especially from that Maryland game. So how do you see them playing against TCU? I know they just had a big loss, but still, I'm pretty sure TCU still wants to hold their dominance in the Big 12.
Well, and that's the other key to this weekend is, you know, again, it's another thing we get to see, is this for real or not? Because USC is just bad and boring. So we don't really know if, you know, that's a good win for Texas. Okay, yeah, you beat, you know, USC. They got the brand name and everything.
Right.
But maybe that's not that big a deal. And if they lose to TCU, all right, well, then that's kind of who we thought Texas was. I've never thought Texas was that great this year. I still think there's a little bit of rebuilding here. I'm not all that sold right now. I do think they are going to get good. I do think Tom Herman's recruiting well enough where eventually it's going to turn, just not this year. But if they beat TCU, all right, you know, let's just blow off that Maryland loss and, mm-hmm. you know, assume that this Texas team might be there and be a fact in the Big 12 race this season.
Do you see them kind of going after Tom Herman like the way they kind of went at Strong just a little bit? I know like a lot of the guys that they have on their roster right now are definitely Strong's guys. And to me, I thought he was at least doing a good job of, you know, recruiting some guys, at least getting some guys in the program that were going to buy into a system. Whenever Tom Herman, you know, got the keys to the car, how do you feel that, you know, his start versus Coach Strong's start? Just because I already know that, you know, the Texas faithful, they're gonna put their opinions out there regardless of what you hear or what they see.
I never, ever thought Charlie Strong caught a break. First of all, Mac Brown hung around the program for about 2 to 3 years too long.
Yeah,
it required a massive rebuilding job.
Right.
And for a whole slew of reasons we could get into on several different levels, there's a big segment of the Texas base that did not want Charlie Strong for a whole slew of different reasons.
Right. Right.
Last year was, it took a while to build the program up. Last year was supposed to be the year when everything came together. That was a full recruiting cycle from the post-Mac Brown era. That's when it all was supposed to kind of come together. They had NFL talent in the secondary. You had guys like Malik Jefferson. You had a pretty decent offensive line. And you had a little bit of talent there. And Tom Herman didn't do much with it. Now, that's the difference. Tom Herman was the guy that everyone kind of wanted around Texas because of what he did at Houston, because it seemed like he would be that fit that can handle the recruiting side of things. He's young. And, again, a whole slew of other reasons. But let's see what he does with this now. He's the coach after the coach to get all set up. But Charles Strong, he's doing all right for himself. He's 3-0 right now at USF. And, mm-hmm. you know, that program's doing all right. So worse things to do than live in Tampa and coach, you know, college football there. So he's doing okay.
Hey, Pete, I agree with you on Texas in the sense that, you know, the Maryland game, that that's got things off to a bad start. And then the USC, we don't know how good. I mean, well, USC really looked bad. But like you said, a powerhouse always, you know, comes in with a lot of respect. But this game here against Texas Christian University, otherwise known as the Horned Frogs, you got TCU coming off a game that they really, really wanted to win. So I see trouble for Texas in this game.
I do, too. You know, and I still think TCU is very, very good. They hung around with that Ohio State team that is one of the four best teams in college football talent-wise. They're probably number two behind Alabama. I mean, that is a juggernaut of a Buckeye team. And you know what? They took a shot in the mouth and they ended up winning by double digits. That's what really great teams do, is that TCU played great. They were right there, and Ohio State still put 40 on the board. So you kind of blow that off if you're TCU. Look, you know, it's still all there. For all these teams who have one loss on the board, whether it's Texas, whether it's TCU, whether it's a team like Wisconsin, whether it's Michigan, anybody who has one loss, win your Power 5 conference, go 12-1, and you're going to be in the college football playoffs.
Pete, I want to ask you, since, you know, you just mentioned 2-1, I want to zone in real quick on the Texas A&M Aggies. How do you feel, just first off, how do you feel, you know, the first impressions on Jimbo Fisher, you know, him getting there to College Station so far, what are you seeing? And also about this Alabama game, because I love it whenever they hype a game up, but I'm just not really too sold on Kellen Munn just all too much. I know he does have that arm, but also the person who I really want to see is Trevion Williams running the field, because I know he's so much capable of doing it, but I just know for a fact it's not going to happen against this Alabama team.
Yeah, the 430 yards from Kellen Munn against Clemson didn't do it for you. That wasn't enough for you there.
No, it's not.
He played all right. He played all right against Clemson. That's, you know what, at this point, going back to Kyle, what we were talking about before, is that when you have a new head coach, that really you can't add, whether it's Willie Taggart right now, Chip Kelly, all these coaches who are struggling, you can't just dog them right away because they're taking over and dancing with someone else's state here. They're like, these aren't their guys for the most part, other than their freshman recruiting class. So you got to give them a little while to be able to figure out what they want to do and get their system in place. So I'm never going to rip on anybody too much for having a rough start. And the same flip side, if you're Jimbo Fisher with that game against Clemson, kind of playing with house money the rest of the season, because everyone knows that Texas A&M isn't going to win the national championship this year. It was a 10-year contract, mainly with the idea of stability, that says, okay, at some point that Saban character is going to retire or move on to the Cleveland Browns and do something else. we want to have the guy in place for when that all happens. And so what they've done is they've invested in Jimbo to set themselves up to have the program ready to pounce. You know, even when Alabama loses and gets Dabo Sweeney, you want to have a team that's just right there that can be in the mix every single year. And what they showed against Clemson in that loss was that, yeah, you know what? This program's going to be all right.
Hey, folks, once again, we're talking with Pete Futak from College Football News. Hey, Pete, you know what? If I'm Texas A&M and Jimbo and those guys, I'm thinking about what I'm going to be doing after the game. You're facing a team that has put up 170 points to 28. This is not good. This is not good. This is not good for Texas
A&M. It's not, but again, you can have the attitude of, you know what? We're playing with, you know, again, I'll use the analogy, you're playing with house money. You're supposed to get blown out. Just go and have fun. You know, go out there and play. You know, hey, look, they just went against this best, quote-unquote, best ever defensive line full of NFL defensive talent, and they more than held their own against that Clemson squad. So if you're Texas A&M, go out there, play loose, play, just go out and do what you need to do and have fun, let it fly, and hope for the best. But this Alabama team at the moment, it's something different. I mean, you saw that against Ole Miss. Ole Miss hits that 75-yard touchdown pass right off the game, off the bat, and then completes six passes the rest of the game.
Yeah, it's almost
so
like
really right now.
It's almost like they give it to you.
yeah, they're pretty good. So basically what you have now is you have Alabama, except they just added Drew Brees, which is what Tua Tagovailoa is. He's a left-handed, in terms of, he's a little bit thicker, a little bit bigger, mm-hmm. but he's really kind of the same size, same accuracy. He's the left-handed Drew Brees now playing for Alabama. That's kind of hard to beat.
That is hard to beat. Hey, Pete, so I know you work with a lot of polls. You look at teams and you put them where they need to be. I'm looking at the AP poll and the coaches poll.
Oh, here. Don't do that.
Well, see, come on now. I mean, are we going to see any change in this? I mean, do you agree that Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma are the top five teams in whatever order you want to put them in?
Yeah, you know what? To me, it's Alabama. And then the ring below that, just barely below that, there's the Georgia, Ohio State group. Below that, it's the Clemson, Oklahoma group. And then it's everybody else. I think Michigan's rising up. Penn State's pretty good. I still think Wisconsin's pretty good. LSU's certainly shown itself to be strong. But really, it's Alabama, that second tier, that third tier, and everywhere else. So, by the way, the AP poll, I saw on TV with my own eyes, BYU beat Wisconsin. And Wisconsin's ranked 16th. BYU's not ranked. Cal, who's 3-0, who went to BYU and beat BYU, is even lower than all of them.
Yeah.
So these rankings now are a little bit askew.
I hear you. And I knew you was going to say that, Pete.
I'm sorry. That's that obvious.
Actually, Pete, I actually want to, you know, say thank you, because I was reading a couple of the articles on your site, and you gave the fearless prediction of the Houston-Texas Southern game, 41-14, and Texas Southern is my alma mater, and honestly, you were way nicer than I am against my own school.
I know. Well, you know what? Sometimes Houston or teams like that just kind of pull up, because the last thing you want to do is get anybody hurt. You put the backups in there early on, and you just kind of coast from there. But, you know, Texas Southern, they got a little bit of an offense there. They can wing it a little bit, so we'll see what they can do against them.
And, see, I think you knew you was going to be on the show tonight. That's why you went a little soft there on and making David not feel bad.
Well, I was going to say, if 41-14 is soft, I don't exactly want to know what going harsh would be.
Well, it's just going to be a long day, you know, offensively for Texas Southern.
Hey, you know, it's not a long day, that paycheck they get to go play Houston.
Exactly. And then the game is just across the street. So, I mean, you only have to pay for another hotel, you know, nothing else.
No, it's all good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Hey, Pete,
I'll go get paid to get blasted by them. It's fine by me.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Pete, Food Tech, man, it's always, always nice to have you on the show. We look forward to talking to you again before this college football season is over, my man.
Absolutely. Have a great night, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. Pete Food Tech, college football news. Always fun when he's on the show. And he gave you guys 14 points. That's very
amazing.
Generous.
And you know what's funny, too, because he's way nicer than I am, because I'm ripping Kellen Munn for having 824 yards just in three games. So I guess he's a nicer guy than I am.
So, and most of these posts, you know, LSU, I'm looking at you guys hanging around number six in both the college and the coaches and the AP poll. I really like LSU, and I just never thought they would be the same after Les Miles left, but I am wrong.
Oh, yeah, and Coach O, baby, that's Coach, why, Coach that's O, why.
Hey, former it's, USC it, guy, you it, know.
I wouldn't really call on. Him a USC guy.
Hey, he was a USC
he was there.
Coach.
He
come
was
on
there.
Now, and he contributed to those
but
wins.
I think this is always the thing, though, with some SEC teams is whenever you have a lack of quarterback and all of a sudden you get a gift in Joe Burrow from Ohio State, and this is what happens.
21-7 Temple on college football Thursday night. When we come back, we will wrap up the first hour here on the Sports Kings Without the Queen show here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by the Dogwood in Midtown Houston. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Mean Gene, David Ramone, and the Sports Queen, Dolores Lozano.
Well, if things stay the same at First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, we could be on our way to the third tie of an NFL game.
I got a question for you guys. Is this considered the Browns color rush jerseys? Is that what I'm seeing?
They're not doing that.
I would
Thursday
guess.
Night.
Yeah, they're not like, required not to do it anymore.
Okay. I mean, we saw that kind of made things exciting last
definitely.
Year. But now it's just, you know, your basic.
I'm not sure about the aesthetics of an all brown uniform, especially with like a dark brown like that. It almost looks black if you're looking at it from far away, because the helmets, I at least have noticed, have been popping out a lot more because of the really distinguished orange color. But I have to say, a dark brown with a vibrant orange is very it's
Cleveland,
right?
It's Cleveland, though. I mean,
yeah, it's hard to come out with good jerseys for them. They have the worst color combination.
They do. They really do. Jets didn't do anything special on Thursday night as far as uniforms, but we have no score as the first quarter
screen pass,
is about to wrap up here in Cleveland. So seems to be more excitement going on with that Tulsa Temple game. As Tulsa just finished a big play there, but Temple all over this game. It's a first and goal there with this 21-7.
Jose, I see you have the Gifted up there on our corner screen, and I've never watched an episode.
Neither have I, actually.
Huh? Interesting. And I've been. I guess this is the start of the second season. I'm assuming maybe.
Well. Second hour coming up of the Sports Kings here without the Queen tonight. Make sure you stick around. We're going to get into the NFL.